Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Again, good morning. We're going to basically be continuing a series this morning that we started a couple weeks ago called New Creation Thinking. And we just kind of talked about how, you know, as we kicked off the series, the fact that we kind of hear this amazing truth that, you know, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And it just seems like, wow, it's amazing. Hard to, you know, wrap our mind around that, because when that happens, it's not something that you feel or you can, you know, necessarily in your emotions all the time or look in the mirror and can see that you're new. It's something that happened in your spirit. And what we wanted to talk about, you know, in the course of this series is really something that, to me, really indirectly impacts how we get through these days in the world that we're living in. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, you know, and as it is, and we're looking at different things, we know that we can't find our stability and our strength in people or the government or different things like that. You got to find your stability and your strength in God. And there have been truths that we've learned through the years, these in Christ truths, who we are, new creation, all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. But it's like now is the time to just feel that upward call of God in Christ Jesus to not just be excited about these truths or appreciate these truths, but to really step in and be who we are, to take these truths on and say, yes, it's not just cool, it's who I am. You know, the emotional inspiration of the fact that I'm a new creation will last maybe 15 minutes. The emotional inspiration of these amazing truths wears off. But the reality is the thing that causes the spiritual strength and identity on the inside to rise up and make you not afraid when you believe this stuff. You know, we know that faith is believing that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is believing God is. And part of believing God is believing what he said in his word. And so it's not just the matter when it comes to the new creation. You know, faith is believing you are in Christ. You're not just believing God is, you're believing you are a new creation in Christ. I am who you say I am. That's part of believing he is believing that you are who he says you are. And so there's a faith. I can't see God, but I faith believe that he is. I can't see the new creation, but I by faith believe I am a new creation. I'm going there by faith. I'm not going there by feelings. I'm just going there by faith. And there's a diligent seeking that accompanies that believing. And so this morning, again, the kind of the purpose of the series is to believe we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And these are some ways that we can diligently seek what we believe God has done on the inside of us. And so as we kicked off the series, we said that, you know, this is really talking about, you know, the goal and the objective is to really ultimately live from this place of who we are in Christ, but there are players involved. We're not just a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're not just a spirit being, but we have a mind. We have a soul. We call our soul our mind. It's really our mind, our will, and emotions is right in this area. But then we also have a body. We've got flesh that's pulling us in the opposite direction of where we were created to be, where we were created to go. And so we've got this battle that's going on between the spirit and the flesh, and then that middle ground is the mind. And so last week, we kind of addressed the lust of the flesh part. So we just called it dealing with lust. Anything that's a strong desire that's pulling you in this direction is lust. That's all that word really means, a strong desire. It's a strong pull getting in this direction. And we found out that, you know, we go in that direction because we're seduced away. A man is drawn away. Don't say that God's drawing you away. No, you're drawn away of your own lust and your own flesh that pull you in this direction. And then once we get over here, and we're dealing with this thing called lust, a strong desire, we start to negotiate. And we look over here, you know, looking for some inspiration to do the right thing or looking for something. But if you've drifted over here, this means you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh, and your mind gets carnal, and your mind gets thinking along those lines. And the Bible says that carnal-mindedness, you can't do the right thing. It doesn't want to do the right thing. And so you find yourself over here, your body and your flesh, the lust of your flesh is pulling you in a direction. Your mind is in agreement. Like we said, that mind is, it's almost like I think of a kind of an airplane guy landing airplanes or directing airplanes. He's got those big sticks in his hand. It's just like a very setting a clear direction. And your mind, when it gets carnally minded, it's like clearly in agreement with your flesh. And so you can be over here and you're kind of negotiating and your mind isn't helping you at all. Your mind is in agreement with your flesh. In other words, if you're stirred up in your anger in the flesh, your mind is going to give you the 15 reasons why you should be stirred up and angry and not love, all right? There's going to be that. It's like a witness, and it feels like it's one against two in that situation, you know? And you feel outnumbered by your own thinking at the time and your body, you know? And so there's this carnal mindedness. There's this lust thing that you're having to deal with, this lust thing that you're having to break. But you realize that, you know, even though you can't really negotiate with your carnal mind to get out of this jam, there is somebody who you can negotiate with, and that's Jesus Christ, your great high priest. He has sympathy and understanding. And the Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He understands it, he gets it, and he runs to the cry of our prayers. He can aid those who are being tempted. So he has something that we need right here. He has the ability to connect with us and say, I know it, I get it, I understand that anger, I understand that pull, I understand any of those works of the flesh, tempted in all points, classic and middle flesh like we talked about. He's experienced the pull of that. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh so that he could condemn sin in the flesh, but that, so that he could also be made like his brother and be a sympathetic high priest. So we've got somebody here in this point who can sympathize and has a shared feeling with these weaknesses and these things that we go through. And so right here, we can come before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. But what we also said here too is, as you're kind of getting to this point, a lot of times if you're trying to negotiate with the flesh, this is where you kind of feel the spiritual victim complex and, oh, why do I have to do this? And this is so hard and, you know, da, da. But this is where you're going to kind of come face to face with your own weakness, your own sense of infirmity, and this is where you're going to begin to change some things. And you're going to begin to say, no, I'm not trying to find help here. I'm helping, my help comes from the Lord. I'm looking to him by faith. I'm crying out by faith, and there's a spiritual help. There's a spiritual strength that comes from him. But this is the thing that I really wanted to get across here, because when you're here, and you're feeling that strong desire, that pull, that lust, and this is typically the weights and the sins that so easily beset you, all right? These are the ones that get under your skin. These are the ones maybe you've been dealing with for a while, the ones that, you know how to draw you off subtly, the way he does that. And so as you're dealing with this, there's some inflection points that you hit here, because right here you can learn and know that, you know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will make me free from the law of sin and death. I can even know that Jesus is there for me. I can know all the answers. I can have all the theology and right theology. But just knowing that stuff isn't what ultimately breaks the power of lust off your life. There's something that happens here that causes real change to happen. And here's the scripture. I just kind of want to do kind of a summary tie-in. 2 Corinthians 5:14 puts it this way. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. There's a conclusion you come to. And like you said, you can be so frustrated here. It's like, oh, God, why can't I just take a little pill? Why can't God just make me do the right thing? Why can't I just get zapped over here to where I'm just craving the word and loving God and worship and being back in the zone again? Why can't I just do, you know, some little quick fix thing to get me back in the zone? It's this strong desire that I'm having to, in the face of, make these decisions. And you realize that ultimately what this is about here, it's the same thing that happened when you very first believed on Jesus. He didn't make me get saved. I heard the good news. I heard that he loved me. And I decided, okay, I respond. I love him because he first loved me. And so I'm saying, yes, Lord, I'm calling upon your name. You didn't make me. I'm choosing you. I'm calling upon your name. That same inflection point happens over here. As you're going through stuff, at some point, the love of Christ compels. And why am I here? What am I doing this? What is Christianity? God loves me. He has a plan for my life. I should live no longer for myself, but for him who loved me. There's a motivation of love. That same inflection point you get there, you get here. And then all the stuff, you know, and all, it's all true, but there's something that flips that switch over here. Hey, it's this right. It's my reasonable service that I should offer my body a living sacrifice. It's my reasonable service. It's right. It's appropriate. I shouldn't feel sorry for myself over here. I should be willing to lay down my life. He loved me. Lord, I love you. Jesus said, those who love me will keep my commandments. And my Father and I will reveal ourselves to him. There is a keeping of commandments that's not motivated by a legalism, but it's love. I love him. There's an inflection point over here where you break the power of lust because I love God. I love him because he first loved me. I judge. The love of Christ compels me. I should live the rest of my time. Not for him who loved me and died and rose again. So that was kind of where we got here. That ultimately you get in this battle and we learn things and we know the right things to do and all that stuff. But that there's going to be a decision time that you're going to begin to, by faith, just step in the, I love God. I'm just going to, by faith, go in this direction. Because he loved me and gave himself for me. The Spirit's still in you. You're still a new creation. But there is something that will compel you right here. And so I wanted to start from this place, as we're kind of going through this series, I wanted to start from a place of weakness and then move into a place of strength. So we're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, okay? But it's important to understand, in the most vulnerable sense, the most vulnerable place, there's going to be a decision from your heart that's going to say, I love God. I'm turning away from this. I thus judge. I should no longer live here, but for him who died and rose again. It's right. And again, Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, a sweet smelling savor, which is your reasonable service. It's right. This is good. I don't have to feel sorry for myself for laying this down. It's right. There's a love in me that compels me. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna love him and follow after him. But what we found out last week, too, is that this guy, this middle guy, he's kind of fickle. He can kind of go in both directions pretty quick. But we find here in Ephesians 4:21, it says, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be God, to be created like God, truly righteous and holy. So he's saying, put off that old nature, put on that new nature, but something happens. You're going to let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Something happens here to this guy, to this mental man, if you will. Ephesians 4, and the Amplified puts it this way, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature created in God's image in true righteousness and holiness. So, like we said, we kind of started out dealing with the outward man, what we call the flesh, the lust of the flesh, and really that the things that we go through and negotiating with it, but some ultimate conclusions that we come to, and we, by faith, begin to go in that direction. God loves me. I'm laying down my life, even as he laid down his life for me. I'm not doing this to get saved, all right? I'm doing this because I love God. I'm doing this. Your love for God is going to ultimately get you moving back in that direction because his love compels you. You judge. This is right. This is good. And I'm going back. When this begins to happen, you begin to put off that old man and you make that decision. I'm throwing off this old sinful nature. I'm going back in this direction. Something happens. There's a renewing of the mind. There's a renewing and a refreshing of the attitudes that happens right here. Because, well, like we said, you got that battle going on. You delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but you see that other law warring against your mind. So this is the inflection point right here. So this morning, I just want to talk about, you know, new creation thinking, your mental health. Your mental health. We know that this is the inflection point here. You know, things are hitting you from this side. Things are hitting you from this side. And so this mind, you know, is a neutral player. When you got born again, you got born again in your spirit, all right? But you got to do something with your mind. The renewing of your mind is a process. And you can set your mind in different directions. But what we want to talk about this morning is mental health. And we're going to talk about, you know, setting your mind on things above and carnal mindedness. But we're going to have a kind of a broader spectrum this morning as we talk about it. We're going to talk about mental health the exact same way you would talk about your physical health. Sometimes we think about physical health one way and we think about mental health another way. And we got to realize when it comes to the Word of God, they're very similar. Jesus, in fact, said, if you don't understand natural things, how can you understand spiritual things? You got to understand. And the Bible makes a lot of athletic, we're in Super Bowl Sunday, athletic comparisons and analogies between the natural and the spiritual. And it's important to realize, you know, the work of the Spirit has been done. I can't make myself any more righteous or any more newer than I already am in Christ. And over here, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to ultimately change my flesh to being good. There is nothing good that dwells within me that is in my flesh. I can't change that either. I can't make my flesh good. I can put it to death. I can crucify it, but I can't make it good. So I can't change my flesh in that sense. I can't change. But one thing I have control over is right here. And like we said last week too, the same guy with those sticks that's going all carnally minded, you know, yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, I totally understand. Can be going, oh yeah, that's really good. Yeah, it's spiritual, awesome. So this guy, he can be on a swivel. And we've felt that swivel. We know the fickleness of that swivel. All right? So this morning is designed to put a spine in this guy, all right, and to make him more, you know, more solid and less drawn away, okay? There's things that I can do in regards to my mental health that can keep me from getting seduced in this direction, all right? So like I said, we're kind of moving in this direction, and so these are some things that I'm going to proactively do to make myself healthy and less vulnerable and less prone to be drawn away, if you will. So the first aspect of your mental health is getting your exercise, okay? Tuning in and tuning out. Getting your exercise. So the first aspect that we just want to look at is there's going to be something. When you think of exercise, a lot of times you think of something that is deliberate, intentional, not something you necessarily feel all excited and, you know, about doing. You may or may not, but it's something you think of discipline, all right? And the scripture says this in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. In other words, when the Spirit of God energizes my mind, it brings a soundness to it. But before the Spirit of God brings that soundness to my mind, Paul is saying, stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. That's an intentional action. I'm not waiting for the Spirit of God to get stirred up within me. I'm not waiting for an inspired stirring. I am proactively, intentionally stirring that up. That's exercise. That's something I'm intentionally doing to create a result. I don't need to feel it. I don't need to be inspired to do it. I've got the Word of God instructing me to do it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is useful for doctrine, instruction, for training in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have instructions to do the right thing, so I don't have to wait on a spirit prompting or a spirit leading to do the right thing if I've got the instruction to do it. This is exercise. We're talking about mental health. There's an exercise part of mental health that causes me to be intentional. In the same way, and here's how that works. He's saying here, stir up the gift of God. When you do that, there's a manifestation of that power, love, and a sound mind. But verse 6 comes before verse 7. Colossians puts it this way. If then you were raised with Christ, which we were, if you're in Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Look at this. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's that language again. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. When you realize here that you are dead to that, that is not you anymore. Do you understand before you got born again, your spirit was over here? Your spirit was corrupted by sin. The Apostle Paul said, we were by nature children of wrath, but we are no longer by nature a child of wrath anymore. We are by nature a child of God. We are by our very nature, spiritual nature, children of God. That's who you are. You have to, by faith, reckon yourself dead unto sin. In other words, anytime you've ever sinned or yielded to sin over here, you've never satisfied who you really are. In fact, when you sin and miss it, there's a you can sense from over there. You can hear it over there. That's the real you, because you've never really satisfied you whenever you've gotten in the flesh. And that's why there's this pull back. Okay, here we go again. I want to be who I am. But this is where he said, you died. Your life's hidden with Christ. Set your mind over here. This is who you are. If you were raised with Christ, were you? Yeah, I was. And that's kind of the inflection point of this message. It's not, oh, cool. Was I raised? I was raised with Christ. The only way out is up. I'm going to have to set my mind up there. I'm going to have to get up there. This stuff is going to have to get real in me. It's time to set my mind on things above, not on things on the earth. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Isn't that interesting word, hidden? In other words, it's prodding you to find something. I got to look for something. I got to set my mind on things above. I'm finding myself in Christ. I'm finding who I am in Him. And so we see that I'm setting my mind, I'm being deliberate, I'm being intentional. Here's another aspect of this. It's kind of well put in Romans. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you can think of it like this, the law of sin and death is over here. It's a law of sin and death. It's a spiritual law and a force that connects with fallen, the natural tendencies of our humanity and fallen flesh. It's like, oh, I really shouldn't do this thing, but you yield to that, you're plugging into spiritual power. It's the law of sin and death. Over here, it's the same thing. I set my mind over here. Something else is over here. Spiritual law is over here. The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus is over here. And so when I'm in the middle with my mind and just set my mind, it's like flipping a switch. You're either flipping a death switch or you're flipping a life switch. You're just tuning in. You're tuning into that power. And that's what, you know, Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're going to tune into one, you're going to be tuning out the other. If I tune into the Spirit, I'm tuning out the flesh. And there is a couple things that I want to get across here. There is an intentionality to doing this. If you were to have an old-fashioned radio and you wanted to get from one channel to the other, and you're on one channel, and this is the channel that you shouldn't be on, all right, and you want to tune into that other channel, it'll be kind of a staticky. You're just kind of going in a direction, but you're tuning and you're tuning and you're listening and you're tuning and you're listening until, okay, now I'm starting to get it. I'm just by faith kind of going in that direction, but I have to intentionally turn that dial. I'm going in that direction until I'm hearing, until I'm picking up what I know is right. So there's something I got to do. I can't get from that channel to that channel by waiting for the radio to just magically, supernaturally turn channels. It's not. I'm going to do the dial, and the dial is right here. You know, the law of sin and death channels over there, the law of the Spirit of life channels here, and I'm going to begin to change. I'm going to begin to set my mind. That doesn't mean when I first set my mind, the birds start singing and I see everything. I'm just going in a direction. And I might not be getting anything. It might still be staticky. I still might not be picking up, but I'm fed by faith. I'm going in that direction. I'm setting my mind. This is exercise. This is something I'm intentionally doing. You know. And so we see those two laws, and this is kind of finally where I want to get to. I say then, walk in the Spirit, tune into the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll tune out the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to the one to the other, so that you don't do the things that you would. But get this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. When we're here, there's so many things that we want. When we're in this mental, we're talking about mental health, this mental condition that we're in. This is also true in the natural. When you think about exercise, if I'm going to get physically fit, if I'm going to have physical health, it's not setting my mind on things above, but it's setting my body on that treadmill. It's setting my body on that walk. I'm setting my body for the physical thing, and I got to set it, right? I can't wait for the inspiration, you know? I'll be seeing food inspirations before I see that inspiration. And so I got to be intentional. I got to stir that up. I got to set that body. I got to do those things knowing that it's going to produce something. And even in the same way, you know, in spirit, I have a hard time forgiving. I have a hard time keeping my mind focused. I have a hard time stopping these thoughts. I have a hard time all this stuff. And it's the same way in the physical. When you begin to do things, you can have a lot of different physical conditions, but when you just begin to do one thing really strong, really focused, really well, here's just medical facts about aerobic exercise and cardiovascular health. When you do something, when you set your body on whatever that is you do to get that aerobic exercise, these are the benefits that aerobic exercise just produces. It improves cardiovascular health, the health of your heart. It lowers cholesterol. It lowers blood pressure. It helps regulate blood sugar. It reduces asthma symptoms. It reduces chronic pain. It aids sleep. It regulates weight. It strengthens your immune system. It improves brain power. It boosts mood. And it reduces risks of falls, your coordination, your balance. And all you're doing is you're just setting your body on that thing with discipline, with regularity, and it's producing something in you. It's producing all those health benefits by just doing that thing. And the scripture here, again, is saying, walk in the Spirit, and it's going to produce health benefits right here. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're intentional right here. That Spirit is influencing your mind. It's producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the stuff that just gets produced as a result of that. You can just spend time in the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden, the things that just seem to be so big just aren't that big anymore. And all of a sudden, you know, you got peace where you didn't have peace before. I mean, when I'm doing this, there's nothing I'm physically doing to lower my blood sugar physically. There's nothing to do that I'm doing to reduce chronic pain. These are just benefits of something I am doing. That's just that cardiovascular, just that working out. We're talking about mental health this morning, and it's important to understand scripturally that when I walk in the Spirit, it's just like a spiritual exercise, setting my mind on things above, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, all those different kind of things. Those are the things that are going to ultimately produce that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. In the same way, I run on the treadmill knowing it's going to help with this stuff by faith. I walk in the Spirit knowing it's producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's stuff that you're trying to figure out and problem solve that all you need is just the fruit of the Spirit. You just have the fruit of the Spirit blossoming. All this stuff just begins to happen. It just checks a lot of boxes on your list when you do one thing. And that's what we're talking about mental health-wise. There's a lot of spiritual problems we can solve by just being passionate about walking in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I don't know what's going to happen to that, but I know that tomorrow I'm going to have more of the love and joy and peace and kindness working in me than I do today. I know that fruit, I'm going to begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's something that I'm going to do. That's something that I'm going to be intentional about, your health. There's something about a strong health that gives you the ability to take on this stuff. Like I said, I can't intentionally physically do this. I can do what I can do cardiovascular, and that stuff begins to take care of itself. So there's that size. There's getting your exercise. When you tune in one, you tune out the other. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Go in this direction and you won't be going in that direction. Okay? So that's our exercise, kind of our natural sense as far as doing that. The other thing is sticking to your diet. All right? Being led, you could say being led and getting played, being led or getting played, if you want to say it. When you're here and you kind of know you got the diet plan, you got it figured out, and you know what to do, and you're by faith, you're doing it, and you're going in that direction, there's something else you deal with here as it relates to mental health. Because even though you begin this process, it doesn't stop the devil from being the devil. It doesn't stop him from attacking you, okay? So there's another arena that goes on here. And let's just take a look at Romans 8, 12 through 14. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if you through the power of the Spirit put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You see within this passage two different ways that the flesh communicates and the way the Spirit communicates. The flesh dictates strong desire, loud voice. The Spirit leads. Come over here, prompting. The Spirit is not mean, not cruel, it's gentle. The Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. That's the way he talks to you. Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. You'll find rest for your souls. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. All right? It's not that the Lord can't be stern or say something that gets your attention or something like that. But for the most part, he's going to be leading you and guiding you and prompting you. Satan has dictates, intimidation, and you know that. Yeah, just the fear. That's the way he tries to motivate. God doesn't do that. He said, you haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received a spirit of that leads you, guides you, a spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father. It's a different way of communicating. So when it comes to sticking to your diet, right here, you're going to experience some things. And this is where, especially if you've heard from God, you know what it's like to hear from God and have a relationship with God, it can be a little tricky at times. Because when you get in this spot, one of the things that carnal-mindedness, the enemy, you know, even though his voice is a dictator, and this is a leading. The thing they still have in common with each other is there's a sense of spontaneity of thought. And when you get revelations from God and you experience that spontaneity of thought, it's like, wow, cool, yes. But you get over here and Satan can have spontaneity of thought too. We're talking about sticking to your diet. When you get here and you're just in that place of discipline, it can be tricky sometimes because if you get a thought that's kind of spontaneous, you think, well, I didn't think that up. It must be from God. Not necessarily. You can get spontaneous thoughts from the enemy too and wonder, man, is that God or what? James gives us a little guidance when it comes to those spontaneous thoughts. He says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And it goes on to say, it's sown in peace of them that make peace. So just because a thought, you kind of get a thought, and it can be clear, like a clear thought, you still have to take that thought into captivity, even though it's spontaneous, even though it could register like a revelation from God. It could be so clear and it can make such sense. Still not good enough. I'm talking about sticking to your diet. This is the stuff, if we don't watch it, can get you off track. You know, how do we blow our diets a lot of times? We'll see something, whatever, it can draw us off, and oh, we're back in the old routine again. So a part of sticking to our diets is just realizing and realizing that the thoughts, especially those spontaneous thoughts that just kind of come almost like revelation. Just because you sense that and you get a clear out of the blue thought, you still have to look at it and say, okay, what is this doing? Where is this leading? Is this leading to confusion, anger, hatred, bitterness, wrath? And this is where it can be confusing because you can start out with that thought, yeah, that's what, I can see. But then as you begin to go down that trail, you can tell whether it's leading you here or whether it's leading you here. And it can be frustrating because you can start off with this really cool thought and you go, oh, man, no, well, maybe I... Just saying, we're talking about sticking to our diet. And this is where the enemy is subtle. It's how he draws us off. And this is where we got to go back to this and say, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield? Am I willing to hear the other side? Over here, you're not willing to hear the other side because you're right and they're wrong and they don't have to be heard. But when it's wisdom, it's from above, you can always hear the other side. There's peaceable, control, different things like that. There's always, it's not a dictate thing. It's from above. And so we're talking about not blowing our diet, sticking to our diet right here. We got to be aware of those spontaneous thoughts. And what's the trajectory? Is it leading me there or is it leading me over here? And there have been times when I've had a thought that I just thought, wow, that's brilliant, that's good, that's right. But as I begin to play it out, it began to degenerate. You know, I have to say, you know, in Jesus' name, I resist that. Father, if there is anything good there at all, if there's anything that I need or anything that can help, then I just cast the care of that over on you. If there's something I'm getting in the way, fine, but I'm just not going to go there in Jesus' name. I recognize that path that it's going down. You know, sometimes it can be because Satan mixes truth with lies. That's why it's a deception. And so you can sense there's some truth there, though, but here I am again. So that's where you're going to say, Father, whatever the truth is there, I pray that you show me that in the right spirit, because then when he shows that to you, and he's meek and lowly in heart, and you learn of him, you learn he's meek and lowly, it brings you in the strength, makes you meek and lowly in heart, too. And you think, okay, cool, great. And there's peace, and there's strength, and there's grace, and there's a calmness, and there's a willing to hear the other side. Because you're secure, you can hear the other side, because there's a right spirit about it. But this is right here in this kind of this area where we can either stick to or blow our diet. Now, if you blow your diet, praise God, there's forgiveness, there's grace. We come right back to center again, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we just go on down the road. You know, it's not that I don't have to stay stuck there. But the main thing is to realize I don't have to keep blowing that, I can be aware right here and say, nope, I'm going to follow after what's right. Here's the cool thing, what happens. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all things you may desire can't compare with her. She's a tree of life to all who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. This is the cool thing. When you're here and you hold out for that wisdom, in other words, I'm not going down that. I'm not going down that trail, Father. I'm staying here until I get the wisdom that's from above. There is something very blessed and beautiful. This is actually where breakthroughs happen in your life. When you don't take the bait. When you decide, nope, I'm not. I'm sticking to the diet. I'm sticking to the diet, and I'm waiting on that's what's true, honest, just. When that happens, you find something. This is really dramatic language. Wisdom, understanding, better than silver, gold, more precious than rubies, and get this, all things you may desire can't compare with her. That's a big statement. But it's the thing when you wait and you get the wisdom that is from above, it's the thing that makes you see through what's had your number for years. And all of a sudden, you got the wisdom of God on it. And you're not afraid, you're not lured, and you can't be tricked in that area anymore, because you know what God says. You found something. Setting your mind on things above, there's a revelation that happens here. There's a change that happens here that's powerful. And let me just kind of put it this way too. I know that when I was a kid in school, high school even, we'd had, and you guys, a lot of you guys I know here anyway, will know what I'm talking about, the old card catalogs, right? You go into a library, You pull out that card catalog, and you look up that card, and you know, we'd usually have little white slips of paper, and we have to copy down what we saw on the card, the little number and all that stuff. And then we take our little white slip of paper, and it would show us the section of the library, and then the rows of bookshelves, and we get to the right row, and then we'd have to go down, and we'd find the actual book, you know, as you kind of go down the row, and you say, oh, there it is. Okay, it's an index card that points you to that book. It points you to whatever that is. And so that's how we would look up books in the olden days. We'd have that system. Everything's pretty much digitized now, too, even as far as the books go themselves. But the thing about when you talk about this mental guy and this mental health thing is that it's a lot like an index. When you're being changed and you're sticking to your diet and you're doing those right things, what's happening is the indexes in your mind, the pointers in your mind, are now beginning to point to the right who you are in Christ. In other words, who you are here begins to get reflected here, and you can find things because you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're seeing things. You're seeing things clearly when you're sticking to it. You're finding things. And it's not like, oh, according to my calculations, I'm righteous. Well, that's good to know. That's how you got to start. But as you stay here, you see that you're righteous. You get to the book, and there's a revelation of righteousness. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he prayed. He said, I pray that you get a spirit of wisdom in the revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, a preacher can come over here and say, you know, he who knew no sin became sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a cool concept, but it's almost kind of like there's this drop cloth over this idea of righteousness. And I know it's there, and I believe it's true by faith, by the word of God, but as I begin to seek those things that are above, that drop cloth comes off, and God shows me by revelation that I'm righteous, and I see it. I've believed it theologically, but I see it over here. In other words, what's true over here, now it's like the pointer, the index is pointed. I am righteous. I've gotten that pointer, and I've diligently sought him, and I've found that righteousness. And when you see that, it's like, man, it's hard for Satan to come along and fool you that you're not righteous. He might get you into a place of carnal-mindedness, but you got revelation. You even pull that through here and say, nope, there's something that I know is true. You come back over here, yes, I am righteous in Christ. Let me say this. If I was to go into that library and I was to take all those index cards and just rip them up, shred them, do you know those books would still be there? I can destroy that index card, but destroying that index card does not destroy the book. It's still there, and it's still in its place. And a lot of times, that's what carnal-mindedness does. It can temporarily destroy our index cards. Where in our mind, it's like, I feel, I think, I am, my identity gets all messed up over here. But you know what? The books are still here. All it's done is just temporarily misplace those index cards. But when you're staying here and you're sticking with your diet, your mind is getting synced up with who you are in Christ. It's getting there, and that's where things are beginning to get real. That's where this language of, in all things you may desire can't compare with her. That's where you begin to step into who you are, and there's that connection between those two. And then finally, I just want to say this. It's seeing the change, experiencing a sound mind. There's a discipline side of this where I'm doing the exercise, I'm sticking with the diet, but then ultimately there comes a point where you step on the scale or you run that race or you do whatever it is and you can see a change. You know, one of the most encouraging things about weight stuff, physical health, is when you do something by faith, you set your body on that thing, you stick to that diet, and all of a sudden you begin to see, wow, I look better, I feel healthier, you see results. And a lot of times those results can even further inspire the discipline because you know it's working. And that's what we see here when we're talking about mental health. When you begin to do these things, you'll begin to tell these ideas and these concepts working in your own life. Galatians 6:7 puts it this way. Make no mistake about it. God will never be mocked. Whatever you plant, you will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of the spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from everlasting life of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. Don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. In other words, there is a reaping time. There is a harvest time. When you reap of the Spirit, when you reap of the Spirit life, it's a cool thing. And I've just had that too. I've had it where different ways, where I've just kind of by faith, you know, just had some sowing time to the Spirit time. And I've woken up the next morning, and it's just like there's a soundness of mind, there's a clarity of thought. I thought, wow, what happened? And the Holy Spirit reminded me, well, you sowed and you've reaped. You reap a spirit of a sound mind. A lot of times you're thinking, man, like we were saying before, one of these benefits, you know, it aids sleep, it regulates weight. Maybe in the spiritual side, man, I just want to keep these thoughts. I don't want to keep these thoughts. It seems like I'm having a hard time keeping these thoughts from coming. I don't have control, self-control. You're sowing to the Spirit. You reap self-control. It's like thoughts come and they just don't have the same impact. Or it's like, put it this way, when you're here and you're weak mentally, you don't have the ability to not go there. I got to go there. When you have the spirit of a sound mind, you don't have to go there anymore. You have the ability to just keep your focus on God. That's supernatural. That's not a strong mind that I did, and I disciplined myself. All I did was discipline myself to sow to the Spirit, and I reaped that. Same way if I do all my cardiovascular, I reap better sleep. I reap better weight. I reap reduced chronic pain. These are things that you reap. There's a harvest that you get. And let me take a look at one more scripture along these lines. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doesn't wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. It's a beautiful progression. Blessed is the man who doesn't get caught up in the flesh stuff, but he by faith delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in that law of the Lord day and night. He's meditating over here. He's going to be like a tree planted. It's really a picture of mental health. It's a picture of your mind that's strong, that's connected to your spirit. But what's important to realize is you're just doing things. If you can treat, and this is kind of where we get different. We treat mental, physical health one way, but we get a little spooky when it comes to things of spirit. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to sense it. I can just by faith discipline myself in the same way spiritually to set my mind on things above that will make me like a tree planted. Before that Psalm 1 guy ever got to verse 3, he did something in verse 1 and 2, and it made him. He reaped a stability and a strength of spirit. And there is something about that, like we said, in a natural physical sense. If you experience progress in a physical dietary plan, it inspires your discipline in that area. The same thing is true spiritually. When you experience a soundness and a strength of the Spirit, this stuff really works. And you continue to go for it. There's a reaping of the Spirit. And that's where the change begins to happen that we've talked about before. Don't copy the pattern, behavior, and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Transform you by changing the way you think. Transformation, process. Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. 2 Corinthians, same transformation idea, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The work is done here, right? But I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. It's almost like in my mind, who I am on the inside is coming more into focus, focus, focus. You ever been to the eye doctor? Says, is this better or is this better? No, that one's better. Is this one better or is this one better? That one's better. That's kind of what happens to us as our indexes get synced up with who we are in Christ. It's there. The books are there, right? It's just our indexes that get mixed up. And mental health is ultimately bringing our indexes in line with who we are. Because like we said before, when I set my mind on things above, it's not a mental cerebral exercise. It's a spiritual switch. Those who, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. Those who are spiritually minded set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So it's not just a matter of getting my indexes in line. It's getting plugged into the law of the Spirit of life. And that's where that transformation begins to happen. I begin to see who I am. That begins real to me. And this is the whole point of where we're going. We want to get to where we're living from this place. You know, they say you live on, what, 10% of your brain or something like that? I don't know. It's pretty low percent of our brain that we actually function and live on. I've often wondered, how much of the new creation am I living on? What percentage of the new creation am I really living on? I mean, I know it's there, but how much of the new creation am I really living from? 10%? I don't know. But that's what I want to grow in the series. That's what I wanted to get bigger. You know, in the same way I want to use more than 10% of my brain. I want to use 20 or 30 or 40. I want to go in that direction where I'm using more. As a new creation in Christ Jesus, I want to be living more and more from here too. I want that mental health. I want that thing to get synced up, you know, to where it's, I might have lost my deal here. Get me to the next slide. Thank you. You know, that's where I really want to get to here with the mental health is to realize this guy, you know, the work was done in the new birth. This is our job here. Our job here is to begin to take our mind, set our mind on things above, and to realize that as we're doing what we know to do, those simple things, all the health benefits of the fruit of the Spirit, we reap of that. It's harvested in there. Those things begin to happen, you know, in our spirit by faith. You know, it begins to, we begin to reap of the Spirit. We begin to reap of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace. Those things begin to get stronger in that spirit of a sound mind, power, love. And what's really happening, all that's really happening is as we're setting our mind in that direction, it's causing that law of the Spirit of life to go into work in our life. That's what's happening. The power is there. Our mind is here, and we're determining which power switch we're flipping. I'm here, and in my mind, I'm experiencing a lot of the stuff of the flesh, the world, and the devil, but the power is right there, and I'm just setting my mind. It's a discipline to set my mind there, but then the power comes, and I begin to reap of this. So there's a mental health, aspect to this, which I really wanted to get across. And I just want to say this, too. There is a repetition involved. You know, in physical activity, if you're going to get physically fit, there's repetition. And again, we can't let that idea of repetition throw us or a concept of legalism or works or anything like that. No, the work's been done. I'm righteous in Christ. But what I'm doing is I'm experiencing mental health as I'm setting my mind on things above. That Psalm 1 guy meditated in the word day and night, day and night. There's a repetition of that word of God. And that's what's producing the strength. You know, I'll put my hand up first in the air. A lot of times when I'm trying to problem solve a bunch of different things, God just brings me back to this. He says, Ed, it's got to come aside here. Come aside. Have some more green pasture time, some still water time. You know, just let me speak to your heart. Let me just move in your spirit. You know, just slow down. And there's just something about that. There's a spirit of a sound mind. Things slow down, and you're just not guessing. You're listening, and there's a calmness, and there's a health, and there's a soundness and a strength of mind, and praise God, you're not afraid anymore because you're just, there's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness that you're just reaping from setting your mind on things above. And it's an amazing thing. It's a power of the Spirit. We're not serving in an oldness of the letter. We're serving in a newness of the Spirit. But in serving in the newness of the Spirit, it still requires a discipline to set your mind on things above so that the power of the newness of the Spirit can come through and strengthen you with might and experience that power, love, and a sound mind. We have that part to play. It's part of our mental health that causes the spiritual strength to come. So, new creation thinking, your mental health, there is an aspect of exercise where we're tuning in the Spirit, we're tuning out the flesh at the same time. We're setting our body in the same way we set our body to get the benefits of cardiovascular health. We set our minds to get the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that are involved. Stick into your diet. you can get here and you can be grooving and things can be going good. That's where the enemy has a little spontaneous, what about? Sticking to your diet. It's going to say, okay, that's an amazing thought. It's a brilliant thought. It's spontaneous. Could it? Would it? Check where it's leading you. If it's bringing you to a place of self-seeking and a wisdom that's defensive and angry and hateful, that's not God. But if it brings you down to a path of right, you know, pure, kind, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits, easy to, it's good. God, praise God, I got to write that one down. I'm going to get that one down in my heart, you know. That's a good one. And so these are just different things, you know, different ways that we begin to see our health change, stick into our diet. And then we begin to see the change. We begin to experience the soundness of mind. It's really cool when you begin to experience the soundness of mind. This is where you will just begin to spontaneously pray in the spirit, worship more. It's just like you're piling on. You know, it's like there's a strength of spirit. I mean, you initially, you're breaking something over here by love, compels me. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I believe here. I love you. I believe you here. I'm going in this direction by faith. I'm going to begin to set my mind on things above. Praise God, because these spiritual laws work. There begins to be a change that we begin to experience in our mind, in our hearts, as these spiritual things on this side begin to get more and more real. Praise God. Okay. All right. I was just kind of wondering if I should share something, but I'm going to go ahead and just share it real quick. Because a lot of times we kind of know this stuff. We know the theology of this stuff. And when we get here, you know, it's you and God. When we come out on Sunday morning, and this is great, we get the fellowship. But a lot of these big decisions that are made that I'm talking about, it's you and Lord. This is you and God stuff that you're making these decisions to really go. And when you're here, you're going to have, just even on a natural diet, you can be just tempted to get off or whatever, to stay the course, different things like that. You're going to experience sympathy, put it that way, you know, that'll try to draw you off or encourage you on. When you're here, it's like, oh, I don't want to. Their enemy is right here with a very sympathetic ear saying, yes, I don't blame you. You shouldn't. And why would you forgive that? You shouldn't have to do that. And you shouldn't have to. And there's a sympathy over here when you're experiencing this inflection point of doing that. And he'll say, you shouldn't. I understand what you feel. I would be mad too. I wouldn't put up with that. I want, you know, and you just down that road. But there's another sympathy of the one who's meek and lowly in heart, who says, I understand what you feel too. I understand what you feel too. And there's mercy and grace to help you in this time of need. Satan has a sympathy that will draw you in this direction. Poor thing. And just get you self-seeking. That's what a lot of the bitterness and hatred, it's self-pity, self-seeking, self. And Jesus takes you the other direction that's not self-seeking and full of bitter envy. That's earthly, sensual, and demonic. But he takes you to that other place where it's not about self. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, even as kind, tender-hearted, even as I have forgiven you, so forgive. I understand what you feel. I understand it. But there's mercy and grace here to forgive and help you in your time of need, to keep you on your diet, to keep you on track, to keep you from getting off. There's that demonic sympathy, but there is a godly sympathy. There's that sympathy of the Holy Spirit that points you in the right direction. Because let me tell you something up here. A lot of times when you're off over here, like we said, there's real stuff and demonic fluff, right? But the power of forgiveness turns real stuff into demonic fluff. Because once you've forgiven even as, there's no more real stuff to hold on to. It's just accusing something you've already forgiven. And you learn some stuff over here. Again, just kind of a little extra. I'm just kind of throwing this in. This is free. But when you get over here and you're kind of in this battle, you know, to do that, you just got to realize your good shepherd, he's meek and lowly. He's kind. He's just kind of gently. That's his voice. To stick with that voice, and you're going to stay on your diet. And that's the mental health. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Easy and light. He's going to make it that way. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the truth of mental health. That there is a way that you've caused us to live that brings life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's a direction of peace. There's a direction of life that's you. And Father, I just pray that over each of us this morning as we just endeavor in our new creation thinking to do and be good stewards of what you've given us to steward, our mind, our thought life, to sow to the Spirit. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I purpose in my heart to set my mind on things above. As I do that, there's a law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. That law works in me. It makes life and peace. The fruit of the Spirit. It's a light yoke because of the strength of your Spirit. Help me, Father, to do the exercise you're calling me to do. And so that's my prayer. What do you want me to do? What is a good, healthy regimen? I ask, Father, for wisdom to see through any promptings that are not you, to see through the demonic fluff, and to be led by your Spirit. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise God. Receive that this morning. Like I said, we're kind of moving in direction from here to here. And next week, we're going to close out our series by your Spirit being who you are in Christ. We're here to steward this. We're here to bring this, you know, and to do things with our mind, set our mind in the right direction. But there are things that you can do and know from the inward man by faith. There's ways that you can minister from your spirit, be strengthened with his Spirit in the inner man, where spiritual things, you are identified with who you are. And that's really ultimately where we're going with this. But just wanted to encourage you. Praise God. This is part of it. This is the maintenance part of it. We can, in the same way in the physical man, ebb and flow. This mental man can ebb and flow, but it is time where we are going to be growing, and we're going from glory to glory to glory. I'm done repeating the same glory over and over again. I'm ready to go from glory to glory and use a greater percentage of my new creation and live from a greater percentage of who I am in Christ. And that's our heart's desire. Praise God again for this series.